We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
On August 22nd, ESPN and the ACC bring you ACC Network. Get closer to the conference home of 15 championship-winning programs. With live games, inside access, original content and analysis. Be in the know all day, every day. Visit GetACCN.com to check availability in your area and demand ACCN. Are you ready for ACCN? We do this.
Hello, Duke fans. You're listening to Blue Devil 360. This summer, we're taking a look at 10 senior athletes who have just recently graduated. We're doing a series on Thank You, Duke. And my name is Jason Lapidus, a senior on the men's tennis team, and I'll be your host along the way.
This is Blue Devil 360, the official podcast of Duke Athletics.
All right, Duke fans, Jason Lapidus back here checking in for our next edition of the Blue Devil 360 Thank You Duke Summer Series. We are joined by Alex Smalley today, senior, recently graduated from the men's golf team. Alex, you want to say hello to everyone?
Hey, guys. This is pretty cool, so thanks for Jason and everyone for putting this on.
Yeah, man, definitely. So little known fact, Alex and I were next door neighbors freshman year.
That's right.
In Bell Tower. You and Shreesh were right next to me and Dylan, who's on the football team, but yeah. All the tennis guys were all Bell Tower. We got really lucky with that one.
We did. We had some soccer girls on our dorm too. I think it was Kat, Mary Love.
Yeah.
It was Taylor.
Anna. Yeah. Yeah.
And Chelsea.
Chelsea, and then Kayla McCoy was there.
That's right, yeah.
And Anna Monroe too.
And we had a couple lax guys too.
Yeah.
Brad and Cade.
Yeah, we were talking. I was talking with Cade because he was on one of these episodes earlier, and we were talking about how we were in the hallways and we would always play like soccer and stuff in the hallways.
Yeah.
I know you guys got in on some of those. Yeah. And it was always maybe like this close from breaking a light.
It was crazy.
Every single
time. It was crazy.
Good memories back then.
Yeah.
So maybe just kick it off by talking a little bit about your career path getting to Duke. I know you're relatively local. Wake
right.
Forest isn't that far away.
Right.
So maybe talk a little bit about how you chose Duke, if you were looking across the country or you wanted to stay in North Carolina, and then kind of the role that the coaches had in recruiting you.
Right. So I grew up in Wake Forest and went to Wake Forest High School. Used to be Wake Forest Roseville. Now it's just Wake Forest. I didn't want to go much further north than North Carolina or Virginia just because it's tough to play golf in the winter much further north.
Right.
A lot of schools have indoor practice facilities, but obviously it's just not the same as real grass and getting out on the course. So that was one of the main things that I was looking at as well. And plus, I didn't want to go to a a large school, you know, it's nice to have an intimate setting like Duke. You get to know a lot of different people.
Yeah.
So I was looking mostly just at Southeastern schools. Stanford was really the only one I was looking out at West, but that one kind of fell off a little bit during the recruiting process. So yeah, I mean, Duke was one of my final three schools, had it down between two other ACC schools, and ended up choosing Duke. And, you know, as I look back on the 4 years, it was a great decision. I'm sure I would have been happy if I would have gone to the other two schools, but it's just a really cool place with a lot of really cool people. So it's gone by really quick, as I'm sure you can attest to. You graduated as well. Yeah. So it's been a very, very cool 4 years, and we'll definitely remember it for a long, long time.
Yeah, definitely. Were your parents or your close family members also on board with you going to Duke, or were they pushing for different places?
No, so my mom actually got her PhD here back in the 90s, I believe. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what date. So I definitely was not a UNC fan growing up.
Yeah, that's good.
We had Duke basketball games on when I was little, watching those. But yeah, I mean, they were very supportive. Duke is, tuition's a little pricey, but it's a really, really good school, top 5 or 10 in the world. So they said, you know, if I wanted to come here, they would find a way, we'd find a way to get me here. So obviously they were very supportive. They weren't pushing one way or another. We were just visiting schools and taking in what every school had, because each school is different. They offer different things and different majors and different personalities with the coaches and players on the team. So we tried to be very unbiased about the decision and just try to take everything in when we went to go visit schools. And this just ended up being the best one, and I ended up here.
Yeah, for sure. Talk a little bit about how junior golf works, because it's pretty similar to tennis, because everyone has this individual ranking and things like that, but it's so foreign relative to how team sports recruit. I mean, there's no like showcase or AAU league or something like that. So maybe, yeah, kind of explain that for people who don't understand how that works.
Yeah, so it's a very individual sport. So you'll see college coaches out at a lot of the bigger junior tournaments, which is basically high school tournaments. But it's not run by like a high school athletic association. It's almost like a mini PGA tour for high schoolers. And there's multiple of them. The biggest one is the AJGA, the American Junior Golf Association. And they have tournaments from all around the country. And that's the main tour that a lot of high schoolers use. And that's the one where college coaches go and visit and watch kids and recruit kids and start developing relationships with parents, because they're walking with parents during the rounds and talking to them. So that's a big part of the recruiting process. High school golf really isn't very big at all, just because conferences usually aren't very good. Our conference in high school was really good. We had Stephen Franken, who just graduated from NC State, on the golf team. He was top 50 in the world amateur rankings.
Wow.
And he's up in Canada right now playing. Doc Redman, who played at Clemson, left after 2 years and turned professional. He won the U.S. Amateur, biggest tournament in amateur golf. I've known him, both of them, since I was 11 or 12. So it's, you know, it's been really cool growing up with those guys and playing with them for 10 years already, and I'm sure we'll see each other for the next 20 or 30 out on tour. But yeah, recruiting is very different. It's a very individual sport. Yeah, I mean, it's a really cool process to go through. And it's just a lot of time to get to talk with people and coaches, and
yeah,
it's really cool.
For sure. Shout out to one of my best friends. He didn't go to Duke, but his name's Dylan Lucas. And he said he's a local. And I was actually telling him that I was playing golf with him yesterday. And he told me to tell you what's up.
Oh,
he's a,
hey, Dylan.
Yeah, friend from junior golf for sure.
Awesome.
So fast forward a couple years. Now you're at Duke. Who was someone your freshman year that you kind of looked up to? Someone on the team? Or it could be a few guys that were people who were really good role models for you. Not necessarily in terms of how they played, but more about how they carried themselves and how they led.
Right. So Adam Wood and Jake Schumann were the two that I looked up to. They were sophomores when I were freshman. Shout out to those guys. They're doing great things. in professional golf right now. Adam was one of the top-ranked junior golfers coming out of high school in the country, so he was a big land for Duke for the program. He was really, really good and is still really, really good. Jake, I roomed with him on my official visit in Epsworth. Pretty dirty room, if I remember correctly, but it was great to get to experience what living in a dorm was like before I actually got there. And Epsworth isn't a very big dorm. It's almost like a little tiny house with a few rooms in it. But I roomed with Jake, and we went out and played. They had qualifying the next day, so I played with the guys when I was a senior in high school on my official visit. So those were probably the two guys that I looked up to the most coming in, just because Adam was a very accomplished player and who was very focused and intent on playing golf after college. So his demeanor and the way that he looked at things was kind of what I wanted to model myself after. He was very professional in everything that he did. So I think that was big for me as a freshman, seeing that with someone on the team already. And then Jake, you know, Jake was a little different. He wasn't one of those guys, and I don't want to talk bad about him, he wasn't one of those guys that was at the top of the ranks coming out of high school, and I wasn't either. So he was kind of similar in the sense that he developed every single year in high school, and when he was here, it's kind of how I felt. And so I grew pretty close to Jake. He was someone that I liked hanging out with a lot. His personality was very good, and you know, he showed that he can improve in every aspect of his game throughout college. And last year, we made it to the semifinals of NCAAs, and he took out the number one ranked player in the world to send us through to the semifinals. And that's just an attest to, you know, how hard he's worked over his 4 years and him not backing down from a challenge. So those were probably the two guys that I looked up to right from the get-go.
Yeah, for sure. I know Jake super well just from being on campus. He's always been the nicest guy, and I can tell for sure that he's a super hard worker.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about the coaches and kind of the role they played in your development over the 4 years, and maybe a few things that you learned about yourself that they kind of taught you.
So the head coach, Coach Jamie Green, he's been in the golf business for a very long time. He played D3 golf at Ohio Wesleyan, if I remember correctly, and then essentially started the coaching process right after he graduated. He was an assistant at Auburn. I think his first head coaching job was at UNC Charlotte, if I remember correctly, and he got that team to number one in the country for that year, which was very impressive since it's not a golf powerhouse. You don't necessarily think of UNC Charlotte as a golf powerhouse, but he's been in the business for a very long time and is very, very knowledgeable about, you know, what he's doing and how it goes about what he's doing. So he was, you know, talking with him through the recruiting process and getting to know him better over the 4 years. He's not one of the coaches who gets in your face, and there are actually some college golf coaches that get in your face, and it's pretty interesting because golf isn't a very high intensity sport at all. He's very positive, is all about self-talk and body language and that kind of thing, and that was probably one of the biggest things that I've learned over the 4 years, was just being positive to yourself, because it's very lonely out there. As tennis, you're out there in front of everybody. We can be out there for 5 hours and, you know, it's just you all the time. So there's a lot of bad thoughts that can pop into your head and a lot of self-doubt that can go on. But I think Coach Green has been very important in kind of instilling something in all of us that, you know, a bad day does not define who you are. You know, it's just part of the game. Everybody has bad days as athletes. That's, you know, we learn from those bad days, and we don't think it's going to get better, but it eventually does. You know, the sun rises in the morning the next day. So, you know, he's been great. Coach Luton, T.D. Luton, was probably the main guy who recruited me coming out of high school. He was the assistant coach from the Raleigh area. So I grew pretty close to him. And he left after the fall of my sophomore year. So I had him for a year and a half. Great guy. We got Coach Bob Hintz, the new assistant, the spring of my sophomore year, and we ended up winning the ACC championship that spring as well. So I think it's just a testament to who he is. We saw success very early, right when he came along, and he played on the PGA Tour and then the Web.com Tour for 15 to 20 years. So I think it's nice to have a balance between a coach who's been coaching for quite a while and then someone who's actually played on tour, to kind of bounce things off of about what life is like after college and if you want to pursue that, you know, what you need to do. So they've both been great, and they've helped everyone with their games. So it's been a great recipe that I think we can continue to draw off of in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Walk me through, doesn't need to be hour by hour, but what's a day in the life of a Duke golfer like? Maybe not a day that you're competing, but maybe a day where you're practicing, you have training, and you have class, and you're, say, getting ready for a tournament the next weekend.
Okay, so I'll just kind of take you through a Tuesday or a Thursday, what that would look like. So Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, we have workouts or lift from starting at 7 a.m. So we usually get up at 6:15 or so, 6:20, those days, and come to the gym, work out for an hour, get done at 8, go have breakfast at 8:30, and then some guys have class at 8:30. This past spring, all my classes were in the morning, but I don't think I did not have an 8:30. So I had breakfast, went back to the room, showered, got ready for class, was in class from 10:05 until about 1 o'clock or so. And then after class, I'd grab lunch on the go, take it to the course, eat it at the course, and then practice from anywhere from 1:30 to 6 or 6:30. And we're not a high intensity sport, so we can do that. But it, you know, it's tough. You can get kind of bored out there, but we have a lot of tricks and games and drills that we do to kind of keep our mind sharp as well as our game. So I'd say most of us are probably out there from about 1:30 to 5:30 or 6, and then we go have dinner at training table, which they started a couple years ago, which has been great. It's been a great addition to Duke. I've really enjoyed it. So we all have dinner together, and then after dinner it's about 7:30 or 8, go back to the dorms and do work until we go to bed about 11 or 11:30. But as we're preparing for tournaments, the coaches are around a little bit more, and what I like to do personally is I like to look at the course that we're traveling to ahead of time and kind of map out what clubs I'll be hitting the most, because maybe you won't hit a lot of drivers at this golf course off the tee, or maybe you'll hit more irons off the golf course off the tee at this course. So that's what I've gotten better with over the years, is just kind of mapping out the courses that we're going to ahead of time and practicing those things and trying to see if there's more bunkers around the green. So if I miss the green and I'm in a bunker, maybe I need to work on my sand shots ahead of a tournament. So just kind of stuff like that. That's what I've been doing for the past couple years ahead of a tournament, I would say.
Yeah, that's really cool. Busy, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So in tennis, whenever people think about, like, for example, our sport, it's very individualized, and they also split up the men's and women's side. Definitely when you think about college, a lot of times people don't understand that the Duke tennis program, we see it as both guys and girls, because people would think that it's just, if you're thinking personally, it's just going to be about the guys program, but we think about it kind of encompassing everyone that's involved and that's contributing positively to Duke tennis. And I think we're kind of in a very similar boat in terms of both men's programs have had great success in the past, but then we have women's programs that are just so elite.
Right.
I mean, the women just won their 7th national championship in golf, and the women for tennis have won national championship, but they're consistently in the top 4, top 5. Speak to kind of your relationship as a team with the women's golf program, and kind of the duality that exists between the two, how you guys get along off the course, and then how you guys inspire each other or work with each other.
Right, so the women set the bar pretty high for us this year. We were there to watch them win their 7th championship, because they have the national championship on the same course. The women's is just a week before ours. So our practice round was the day after the final match of the women's championship. So we actually got to follow the women the last few holes as it was coming down the stretch, and it was crazy because they were playing Wake Forest and the Wake men's team was there.
Right.
And it was basically a screaming contest between our team and Wake's team just right. to see who could be the loudest. But yeah, they definitely set the bar high. I think last year was one of the only years where we made it further than the women did. We made it to the semifinals, and I think they might have made it to the quarterfinals. But there, you know, Coach Dan Brooks is a really, really great coach, and he certainly has the recipe for success there, and certainly has something special with those six women. A lot of people don't know there's only six on the team, and right. You take five to tournaments, and they're still one of the best top three teams in the country every single year. So it's very impressive to see what they have going on. I've been very close with Virginia, Elena Carta, who was a senior who just graduated from Italy. Shrish and I were freshmen when she was a freshman. So that's probably the person I'm the closest with on the team. Very, very nice person. One of the nicest people I've ever met. Very hardworking. She's done quite a bit over her Duke career with being a Rhodes Scholarship finalist, starting a fundraiser with Birdies for Babies. People donate money every time we make a birdie in a tournament. Just stuff like that. She's done a thesis for environmental science. I'm an environmental science major as well, so she's set the bar very high as well. So, I mean, it's been great to follow her success over the past 4 years, and it's great to have her as a friend, and I'm sure we'll stay in contact for quite a long time. But yeah, you know, the men's and women's teams, we don't practice at the same time. They're out there a lot with us, but our practice facility is kind of large, so they're kind of spread out. Their coaches kind of like them to keep them separated from us because our team is so big and theirs is kind of so small. We have 11 guys compared to their six. But yeah, you know, we've played with them all the time. We have dinner with them on occasions as well. Very nice people. It's been great to get to know all of them and to kind of get to know who they are because they only have two Americans on the team.
Right.
Virginia's from Italy, Anna's from Slovenia, Miranda's from China, and Jarvie's from Thailand. So they've got a lot of different cultures on the team. So it's been great to kind of get to know each and every one of them on the team. But yeah, I mean, they're a very successful program, and we only hope that we can rub a little bit off of on us so we can do as good as they are.
Yeah, for sure. Speak to maybe one of your most memorable moments, something that you're going to look back on 30 years from now, and when people ask you about your time playing golf at Duke, this is the first moment you would think of.
First thing that comes to mind was the ACC championship win. We weren't one of the favorites going into that week, and the last two rounds, we played 36 holes in one day for the rounds two and three because the last round was supposed to be a washout, supposed to rain all day. So that was a pretty grueling day on a golf course that was very difficult to walk down in South Carolina. And everyone played really well. I think we had four guys finish inside the top 12 in that tournament. And it was one of the larger margins of victory in ACC championship history, if I remember correctly. So that was a pretty special moment as a sophomore winning an ACC championship. I touched on the other one was making it to the semifinals of NCAAs last year. We went into that tournament ranked 28th in the country on a golf course that was very demanding, Oklahoma State's golf course, and they've been the unanimous number one seed in the country for the past year and a half, 2 years. And through three rounds of stroke play, we were beating them on their home course as a 28th seed compared to a one seed. So it just showed how good we actually were, even though the rankings didn't show it. We set course records on their home course that they haven't matched yet. They ended up beating us in the fourth day of stroke play, so we got the two seed and they got the one seed. But just making it to match play as a 28 seed was very special. And then, yeah, as I touched on earlier, Jake sending us through to the semifinals was very, very cool. Competing with Alabama to go to the championship match was, you know, something I'll never forget. And They beat us pretty handily, but it was very cool to be in a match play situation and to have a chance at a national championship. So I'd say those were the two things I'm going to look back on quite a bit and remember for a long, long time.
Yeah, definitely. I remember following on the golf channels.
Yeah,
great.
It was pretty fun.
If you wanted to say thank you to one person who's made your career at Duke so successful, could be someone on support staff, could be not even golf related, but someone who's really impacted you as a person, who would that person be?
Probably Shreesh Dwivedi, my roommate for 4 years. He's from the Bay Area in California. Probably one of the most intelligent guys I've ever met, one of the most professional guys I've ever met. As much as I hated it some days, you know, he stayed in the room and worked until 2 or 3 in the morning while I tried to go to bed. And he got up the next morning without missing a beat, without complaining or saying anything bad about how much work he had or how much he had to do. He was very focused on the task at hand and trying to finish each and every task at hand. So I'd say his personality rubbed off on me a little bit and just kind of made me take a step back and realize how professional he was at everything and how I might be able to implement some of that into the way that I go about my life, because he's going to do great things in the future. I'm no doubt about it, whether it's on the golf course, off the golf course, in business, whatever he decides to do, he's going to be very, very successful at it. And I stand behind that line because he's just one of those people that won't get down on himself, won't think about what others say about him. He's just going to focus on what he has to do, and he's going to do whatever he has to get done to in order to achieve that goal. So shout out to Shreesh. He's back in San Diego right now. Hope I get to see him soon. We stay in touch. I'm sure we'll stay in touch for a long time, but he's probably the one guy that I would say I looked up to a lot over my 4 years.
Definitely. What's next for you? What are your near future plans?
So I'm going to stay amateur. I'm going to play some golf over the summer, stay amateur. I've got some pretty cool things lined up for the summer, playing in the Palmer Cup, which is almost like a Ryder Cup style thing for college players. It's a U.S. team versus the international team. And Anna from the women's team is on the international team, so it'll be cool. Maybe if we get to play against each other head-to-head,
right,
that'll be pretty cool too. Duke people battling it out, but play more amateur tournaments over the summer, travel quite a bit. Got a U.S. Open qualifier with Chandler coming up, so hopefully we'll both be at Pebble Beach playing in the U.S. Open the next couple of weeks. And then turn professional at the end of September, and then go through Q school, qualifying school for web.com, and hopefully get through. But my plan is to pursue golf for a little bit, and I've done it for the past 10 to 15 years of my life and put a lot of hours in, so figured we'd give it a shot and see how it goes for a few years.
If the listeners wanted to follow your career or keep in touch with how your golf and life outside of golf is going, what would be the best way for them to do that?
It's a good question. So I'm one of the few people who do not have an Instagram. I don't know what it is. I just don't find myself taking a lot of pictures of things wanting to share a lot with a lot of people. So, I mean, I have a Twitter and a Facebook, but I really don't post a lot to social media. Duke may continue to cover me for a little bit through the summer. I know Coach Green is going to be out at a few tournaments watching me, so he may post some stuff to the team's social media pages. But I'm sure with professional golf and getting sponsors and stuff like that, my social media will start ramping up a little bit.
Right, for sure.
But yeah, you know, it's a very, very exciting time, and I've got a lot of support already, but any support could help, so.
Definitely.
It'd be cool to have.
Looking forward to it, and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Jason.
Appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate you coming in. It's been great.
Thanks.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.